God is awesome. Get your Bibles out. Turn to the book of Job. Last week we talked about terrorism. And I hope that you got a better understanding of why we're going through what we're going through. But at the same time, we're going to talk about a different type of terrorism today. Before we do, I'll tell you this little story. The church was having a fall bazaar or a fall get together and for the kids, and up in the front of the line was a basket of apples. And in this basket of apples, it said, "Take only one, God is watching." That sign was right there. So they went through the line and saw that sign saying, "Take only one, God is watching." At the end of the line was a big old box of candy. And there was a sign written by one of the kids. It said, "Take all you want. God is up front watching the apples." Job chapter 1. God is so awesome. If you don't know where Job is, it is right before Psalms. If you don't know where Psalms is, it's in the middle of the middle verse of the Bible is in Psalm 119. So you can look at the middle of the Bible and open it up. It should be around Psalm. We're going to go turn to the left or the right, depending on which way you're looking at it. Job chapter 1. This is a two-parter. We're going to start it today and we're going to finish it next week. Job chapter 1. How many knows that we're living in a time when your faith really has to count for something? Your faith has to count for something, especially in this last day and time. If it's ever counted for anything, it counts for something now. Job in Korean is Lenovo. We're going to get it up here eventually. What? Okay, can I show you what you taught me? Just hit that button right there, and you're in business. You're in business.
That's great. Uh-huh. I gotta get it up on the
screen. Okay, it didn't work. Never mind. This is my resident IT person. And we got Windows 8, and I did all right within the first hour. I was going through doing most of my stuff, but every now and then there's a few things I got to keep catching up with, and here's one of them. Amen. When faith really counts, and here's the name of the sermon today. When bad things happen to good people. I got called yesterday while I was at the ballpark watching my granddaughter play baseball, softball. I get a call from the funeral home wanting to know if I could do a funeral for a 20-year-old boy this week. And so Wednesday I'll be doing that. But again, it was unexpected, and you hear these things like this. And matter of fact, we've heard a bunch of this stuff going on lately. We've seen a lot of bad things happening around us, and it seems like the most of the bad things that happen around us happen to some of the best of people. Amen? You see, matter of fact, Psalm 73, Psalm 37, David says, "The people living for you, God, they seem to have it hard, and the people that aren't living for you, they seem to live it up." He said, "When I went in the house of the Lord and recognized their end, and I understood, hold on, we're not losing anything here." Amen. Look at somebody and say, "We're not losing anything." Amen. I'm going to let you just stay seated today. Just turn to the book of Job, because I'm going to read a lot. And then we're going to go into a message. Hopefully this is not going to be too long, because I don't want you to feel like you're suffering through the suffering message. All right. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and it's even believed that Job was the king in this land. I went and looked at a bunch of about Job, and Job himself means despised, hated. People just did not like him because he was so blessed. Believed to even be a local king or a local leader, maybe even like a mayor or something. But here he is. Job's an awesome man with a lot of stuff going for him. See, this man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And you got to think about something. You talk about why things happen to good people. You can't get much better in earthly eyes than this man. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one of his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, then Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job did continually. Now this book right here is the oldest recorded book in the Bible. Now Genesis is the oldest, of course, but the oldest book that had been recorded up until the point that Genesis was recorded, I'm not talking, is the book of Job. He lived around the time of Abraham. So this guy here, this is the oldest written script we can find of the Bible. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? That I have blessed the work of his hands, and the substance is increased in the land. Put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. This is a challenge from Satan to the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power, only upon himself put not thine hand. In other words, I'm pulling back the curtain, I'm letting the dogs loose. He's yours. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, drinking wine as a symbol. They were having a good time. They were all excited. They were joyful. And there came a messenger unto Job, saying, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them, and they took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, and has burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I am the only one escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, now see how it's happening here? Rapid fire. Just like that. Just like, can you imagine? It's one thing to stand up and say, well, your car overheated, now you need a new engine. And while you're trying to figure that out, your kid comes in and he's got a hurting tooth, and you see that he's knocked his tooth out and he's got to have his tooth put back in. And while this is going on, your daughter falls and breaks her arm. That's one thing. But look at what's going on with this man. You can't get much heavier than what he's going through. Losing everything all in one day. And while he was just speaking, there come another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. That should be the end of that story. Praise God. Hallelujah. But Satan's not happy. He wasn't happy when he had everything, because he couldn't tempt him with that. He's not happy when he's taken everything, because he can't tempt him with that. So there was again a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holds fast his integrity, although thou moved me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's thine in thy hand, save for his life. Don't you can do anything you want to, just don't kill him. So if you ever fight, you're thinking, Lord, they've done everything but kill me, what's next? This was literal with this man. So when Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet into his crown, and he took a potsherd to scrape himself with though, and he sat down amongst the ashes. Now, a doctor looked at some of this stuff and said he had to have had a fever of 105 plus. Can you imagine an adult with a fever of 105 plus? He's got this fever, and the only way he can get some relief is to scrape these boils off. So he broke a pot, and he's scraping off these boils, and he's sitting in ashes. And there's several reasons for that, too. One, because he's in mourning, and two, to find some relief. And so this is his wife unto him, did I retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good out of the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're alive and well on the throne, Father, and your timing is impeccable. You knew who was going to be here today, Lord. You knew what was needed here this day. And God, we believe with all of our heart, God, that this day, this time, this message is for this hour. I ask you, Father, right now, Lord, to touch me, Lord, to help me, Father, to speak, Lord, to somebody from another world, Lord. I ask you, God, to help me as a dying man telling another dying man where to find life. As one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Father, this night is your night. This day is your day. And Father, we thank you for what's about to take place in our hearts and in our lives. And we thank you for the burning, Lord, that we feel inside. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. The name of the series has been Faith Really Counts. Part one is Job before he gets to his three friends. Part two, next week, is when he gets to his three friends. And just when you think he couldn't get any worse, his three friends come up to bring him comfort, and they're worse than his wife. And I didn't think you'd get much worse than her in this situation that she was telling. Just go ahead and curse God and die. So watch this now. In a Gallup poll, I'm going to ask y'all a question. Recently in a Gallup poll, people were asked the following question: if you could meet God face to face and ask him one question, don't go yet, and ask him one question. Eddie, can you turn that light off right there, bro, or Don, one, that light right there? If you could meet God face to face and ask him one question, just one, he said, no limit, but one question. Somebody just named blurt out something. What would be the question you would ask God if you could just ask one? I know where that's going. You leave that hand down, bro. No, I'm playing. Okay, I'll skip him. Man, I'm playing with you. You got anybody, if you had one question you could ask God? Well, that would be good. Somebody. All right. That's some good questions. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Anybody? One more. You get one question. Is Bigfoot real? Where'd they bury you? Is Elvis dead? Not all yet. What will be? There you go. What will be? Awesome. Get ready. Here's the number one Gallup poll answer to this question. If you come face to face with God, you can ask him one question. Number one is, why is there suffering in this world? Number one. Y'all hit all around it. Why is there suffering in this world? Number one question. Now we're going to go a little bit further. We're going to try to go in some in-depth here. Well, one of the oldest books in the Bible, like I told you, is the book of Job. This book of Job looks at the mystery of suffering from every angle. You see it from the outside, from the inside. You see what's going on with the devil and Satan. You see what's going on with his family. You see what's going on with his wife, with his friends. You see what's going on. So with Job, you've got every angle worked out It's like there was a movie called Vantage Point. I don't know if you ever saw it or not, but it showed one crime, but it showed the vantage point of one man and another man, a woman, and it showed all these different angles of this one crime, and it was really kind of an awesome thing to look at. Well, the same way, when you look at the book of Job, what you see is you see Job suffering, but you get to look at it from up here, 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 here. Every angle. There's people in here right now, you're suffering with something. Maybe you're suffering over your children, you're suffering over health, you're suffering over whatever, but you're suffering, and many other people, they don't understand because they only see one dimension. But God sees all the dimensions, and God sent the book of Job to us to let us know that He sees all the dimensions. Now, Job himself, he's an unlikely candidate. Why? Because it's so simple. The Bible said he was a man of character, a man of purity. It's just awesome. He was perfect and upright. There was a man of Uz whose name was Job that was pure and upright, who feared God and turned away from evil. So his character, he was an awesome man. He was also a man of commodities because this man, he owned a lot. I mean, he was one of the richest men, if not the richest man in the area. Can you imagine all this stuff that he owned? Which he's about to find out is just stuff. Amen? And not only that, but a commitment. He served his family as the priest. He went, of course, he didn't know about Jesus. He didn't know about the cross. It's the oldest book in the Bible. And so he's talking about, he knows that he needs to sacrifice before God. And so he's sacrificing before God for his family, making sure that everything's okay with his 10 children. So he's looking out for them. So he serves his family as priest. And then the consistency. He wasn't a part-time believer. He did it all the time. Even if stuff was taken away from him, he still loved God and didn't charge him foolishly. Wow. Now, here we go. We're going to go into some dimensions here. I want you to see these dimensions. And I'm sure you've seen these many, many times. And maybe it's just a refresher, but let it refresh you right now. Satan in the unseen battle that's going on. You see, Satan, Satan has his conspiracy of evil. And I'm just going to go through it a little bit, his conspiracy of evil, and just kind of show you right quick, like, some of the crazy things about Satan. Satan was not introduced in this book. Satan actually was introduced in the book of Genesis. But even though he's been introduced in the book of Genesis, here's how it all works. He's introduced in the book of Genesis. He's the accuser. But not only in the book, appears in the Garden of Eden, he's here now in this book. The Bible tells us in Luke 10, said, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. And he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, but over all the power of the enemy shall nothing by any means hurt you. I saw him fall." So now, he's fallen. He's intruding into man's affairs. He has intruded this week in your affairs. How many believe that? Somebody can give me a big amen. He's intruded in your affairs. He is the source of evil. He is the source of suffering in this world. Revelation 12:12 tells us, "Therefore, ye heavens and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time." He is the, here his name means accuser of the brethren. So again, he's the accuser. So now, so watch this now. He's the source of all evil. He is the source of temptation. He is the source of suffering. But this story teaches us, although he's got all this going against us, the book of Job, the book of Genesis gives us comfort when we see that although Adam and Eve were sent out in the garden, that God provided covering for them. But the book of Job gives me also great comfort because it lets me know that Satan can put his hand on you, but he can only touch so much. God's still in control. Even when Satan is coming at you with everything he's got, God is still in control. And God is holding back. The Bible says God knows how much we can take. And he says, in every temptation, he's going to provide a means of escape. Doesn't mean you're going to get out of it. It says means of escape, so you may bear under the pressure. Meaning sometimes you definitely don't get out of the problem, but the problem doesn't get you to its fullest. All right? So now let's watch this now. Watch this. Satan tempted Job with two things to begin with: pleasure. You think, well, he's watching Job and God's watching Job, and pleasure didn't make him turn away from God. Matter of fact, he was still an upright man. He loved God. He was taking care of his children. He was looking good. So pleasure, when Satan tempts us, here I'm going to show you some anatomy of temptation, because I was showing some anatomy of affliction on Tuesday nights. Pleasure makes us feel we have no need of God. Think about it. When everything's going good, many times we don't necessarily get down to business with God like we do when we're having problems. Amen? You can have an altar call and you got people that's not going through anything. They might even skip the altar call. We got people going through things. The same ones that would skip altar call for 6 months, now they're in it. They won't leave the altar. And you know what? Maybe, just maybe, if they got in the altar to begin with, maybe it'd make it easier now. Just a thought. Pain makes us feel, listen, here it is. You say, why so much suffering? Pain makes us feel that God has abandoned us. Pleasure makes us abandon Him. Pain makes us feel like He has abandoned us. How many has ever asked why you're hurting? I'm hurting, God. Where are you? Am I the only one? Am I the only one that said, God, are you with me somewhere? Because I do not see you, I do not feel you, and I don't know if you're even watching. See, pain makes you feel that God has abandoned you. Watch this now. Well, what's Satan's purpose? I'm going to take this a little deeper. We're going to get deep. Let's sit down to plow. Y'all want to sit down to plow? You say, why is there suffering in the world? Why we go through things? Why good things happen to bad people? Well, what is Satan's purpose? I want you to see that there's Job. He's sitting here in sackcloth and ashes. And he shaved his head. He's sitting there with his beard. He's just sitting here. He's just moaning with all the sores. So watch this. Now watch. What's Satan's purpose in your life? Get ready. Every last one of us in our lives. Number one. He wants to alienate God from man by accusing man before God. Y'all listen good. He wants to alienate God from you by accusing you. If you're taking notes, write that down. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He tries to come before God and tells God just how bad you are, all the things you have done in order to get God to turn His back on you. But God has a remedy for that. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:1, there's therefore there no condemnation in them that belong to Jesus Christ. In other words, if I belong to Jesus and Satan's accusing me, God looks at me, but instead of just seeing me, He sees the blood. So the next time Satan's accusing you and telling you just how bad you are and making you feel bad and telling you that God don't love you anymore, that's what he's saying. When God sees you, if you're a child of God, he sees the blood. I thank God for the blood. That's what he sees. There's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I am not perfect. Y'all are not perfect, but we are forgiven. Praise the Lamb of God. Satan! Quit accusing. So first, he wants to alienate God from man by accusing man before God. Secondly, here it goes. Secondly, he wants to alienate man from God. See the difference? When he's accusing, he's trying to alienate God from you. But when he's tempting, he's trying to alienate you from God. How many here say, no, don't raise any hands. And you ain't got to say how long it's been. Some of you can say it's been, well, a couple months ago. Some of you can say last night. Some of you can say even right now. How many in here would say they've heard in their head, I don't know why God even blesses you. Look at the junk you got stuck in. You told God you wouldn't do it again. And He watched you. And so you say, God, I don't even deserve to be your child. I don't even deserve to be here. And God's trying to bless you, but you won't let Him because you're feeling that you have alienated yourself from God. So look, first He tries to alienate God from you. Then He tries to alienate you from God by tempting you with sin and with suffering. I want you to remember this. Your relationship with God is the most important thing in your life. Greater than your relationship with your kids, greater than your relationship with your wife, greater than a relationship with the people you work with. The greatest thing in your life is your relationship with God. That's why Satan does his best to sever that relationship. See the purpose of Satan's suffering? Satan told God he's serving you because you're being good to him. Let me touch him. He won't be so happy. I think the book of Job is where How the Grinch Stole Christmas came about. I remember How the Grinch Stole Christmas. He said, "You let me get." He said, "I'm going to take all that stuff from the who's. And when I take all the stuff from the who's, they're going to be sad at Christmas time." He took everything from them, and they still went out and worshiped God because it weren't about things. And it broke the Grinch's heart. And he went out and gave him back everything he took. You see, Satan wants to sever that relationship. So now, the question is, right now, because you know that Satan is trying to alienate you from God, trying to alienate God from you, that's why there's suffering, that's why there's pain, because he used it as a device to sever the relationship with God. So then here's the question. Here's the real question. Why the righteous suffer is not what we need to be asking, because sometimes you're not going to know all the questions to that one, all the answers to that one. But you do know from the book of Job where it came from, the origins. So, what we need to ask is, how do we handle suffering? The difference between the righteous and the unrighteous is not who suffers and who doesn't suffer. It's the difference in how they handle suffering. I remember when my grandmama died. I've told you this before. My grandmama died. She had two children, my mama and her sister. Her sister, at the time, did not know God. My mama did. And as my grandmama died, she laid in there, and they went and looked at her, and then they had to do the family visitation, then they had the regular visitation. And I remember my aunt, who did not know God, said she couldn't take it. And so she went through the next 3 days popping pills. She did not even know where she was at. When you looked at her and talked to her, it was like talking to just some animated person. My mama knew God, and my mama said, "God's going to help me through this." And she trusted God for strength, and she helped comfort my aunt and comfort my granddaddy and comfort us. Because, see, she knew where her source of strength was. Amen? So now, what do the righteous do when they suffer? Well, what happens when all bottom falls out? What happens when you thought you had that promotion? Not only was it yanked out from under you, you lost your job. You thought that you and your spouse were going to last forever. Now there's no longer you and your spouse. You thought your kids were going to wind up being the greatest kids on the block, and they wind up being in the cell block. What and how do you handle this will determine whether you are alienated from God or whether God is alienated from you. Because watch this. The Bible tells us first that he fell to the ground and worshipped. The Bible says in all this, Job did not sin, charging God with wrongdoing. He says in chapter 19, "I know that my Redeemer lives." In chapter 23, he says, "I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread." His faith boiled down to one great affirmation: "Though he slay me, I'll trust him." If you could take the centerpiece of the book of Job, it'd be, "Though he slay me, I will trust him, for I know, although he destroys this body in my flesh, I will see God, for I know my Redeemer liveth." There's some heavy stuff going on here. He's lost 10 children. He's lost all of his substance. He's lost his bars. He's lost everything. He's flattened down. It's all flat. Like some great big hurricane came through and just took everything. He goes out and he stands over those 10 freshly dug graves with everything flattened around it. And all he's got is why. And Satan's saying, I'm going to get him. I'm going to sever the relationship between the Lord and Job. That's not what happened. You see, here's what trust really means. Don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. While we're going good, everything's going good, everything's hunky-dory, we're praising God and we're worshiping God. And if we're not careful, we'll just get caught up in the worship and not let the Word feed us. And take the promises of God and hold on to them. Hold on to what you heard of when things were going good. Hold on to them when the lights go out. And I can promise you, every person in here, one day the lights are going to go out. Some of you, the lights have already gone out and flipped back on and gone out again and flipped back on and gone out again. Some of you right now, if people could see you spiritually when you came in here, you did like this. Because you're in the dark. And you're trying to find your way. Don't you think God sees you? Don't you think God knows this? That God understands? He sees, He knows, He understands. And He's telling you, don't doubt in the dark what I revealed to you in the light. Because I will fulfill my word in you. So three things He did, and then we're going to close. And next week we'll talk about His friends and His restoration. If you're here today, though, and you're in the dark, if you're here today and you've seen the lights turn out, if you're here today and you find yourself at the point where you're saying, God, where are you? Why haven't you answered my prayer? I remember one day, DC and Daniel were fighting. We were fishing, and they were fighting over a plastic Rambo knife. DC was bigger than Daniel, and he was stronger than him. And Daniel said, it's mine, and Daniel pulled back. And DC showed that he was stronger and weaker in the mind. Because he grabbed the point toward his face and said, it's mine. And he yanked it. It went in his eye. He screamed. I went and looked, and he had a quarter-inch gash. I saw it. I picked up all the fishing stuff, threw it in the back of the car, and his mama held him, and Daniel, I put Daniel in his seat. His mama held DC, and I was at Havens Garden, so I'm running to the hospital. As I'm pulling out, the Lord speaks in a real loud voice. Says, have you talked to me yet? Have you ever had one of those holy whoops moments? So I pulled her on the side of the road and said, hand it to me. She was in the back seat watching both boys and handed it to me. So she hands it to me. And I pray for him and say, God, you created this eye. You can take it. You can fix it. I saw the gash, but you can take care of it. We laid hands on him. I gave him back to his mama. We drove to the hospital. We get in there and they rush him on in and said, where's the cut? God healed a quarter inch gash. There was dried blood in there, so you knew it had been there. He said, but the gash is gone, but there's blood. And so, of course, he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. Since I can't find the gash, but there is blood, I'll put a little patch on it and take it off tomorrow. And DC thought he was cool. He came out going, har, 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 har. Later that night, after I saw that mighty move of God, and I was thanking God all for it, later that night, his mama went into some kind of problem in her ovaries. And she had a cyst rupture. And I said, you know what? I saw God do that this morning. He'll do it tonight. I actually thought that I'd just reach over and lay my hand on her and turn back and go to sleep. She'd be fine. That didn't work that day. Although God had healed a quarter-inch gash in DC's eye that morning. At 12 o'clock that night, I had her at the hospital, and by 3 o'clock in the morning, they were operating on her. And I said, "Lord, what happened? This morning you healed, boom! And tonight, my wife's in surgery. I don't understand." And it took many years for me to understand. If I'm going to show you what Job did, maybe it'll help. It helped me understand the other, but I want you to see this. The very first thing Job did, when all of hell literally broke loose. I've heard people say, "Oh, hell broke loose today." No, it didn't. If all hell broke loose, you'd know it. Matter of fact, if all hell broke loose, you might not even know it. You might be dead, okay? Watch this. First thing he did when all hell literally broke loose, he ran to God instead of running away. Remember, the purpose of suffering, the number one purpose of suffering in the world is God wants, or Satan wants to sever your relationship with God. So the very first thing he did was he ran to God instead of running away. The Bible says he fell to the ground in worship. Wait a minute. He just lost everything, including his 10 kids, all of his help. He's lost it all, and all but his wife, who is nagging him over this thing, and he falls to his knees and he worships God. You see, I'm going to tell you something. Here's what some of y'all need to do today. Don't do it right this moment, but you need to find some place to get by yourself. And your emotions are about to burn you up. You see what's going on right now? You're suffering. And as you're suffering, you actually begin to go from a spiritual mode to a physical mode. When you go to the physical mode, you go from a spiritual thought to now you're going to a regular just earthly thought. And what happens is when all this stuff is happening, we're all here, we're all emotional beings. How many here is not emotional? I had a guy one time say, "I'm not emotional." I said, "Come up here." He said, "What? I took out a hammer." I said, "Lay your finger right there." I pulled back the hammer. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to prove that you're emotional." I said, "One swipe with this hammer and you'll be crying for mama." I didn't ever get a chance to hit him. He conceded. The Bible says he let out his emotions. He tore his clothes. He got angry. He was confused. He was depressed. But listen, I want you to listen carefully. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying right now. This is something that's going to help you. He didn't bottle it up. Some of y'all in here are powder kegs. I can see it. I can sense it. I can smell the keg smoking. I get around you and I sense it. And I want to tell you, don't bottle it up, because when it does finally explode, it'll explode when faith is nowhere to be found. The best place to let it explode is right here. Tell God you're angry. Tell God you don't understand. Tell God you're depressed. I tell him all the time, "God, I didn't like that." I do. I get riding down the car and say, "What was that about, Lord?" Or, "If I was working, I'd do it a little bit different, Lord." I know y'all were so holy, y'all wouldn't do that. "Lord, I know you never mess up, but Lord, I'm telling you what, that was a close one." That's what I've said. I've said it. I'm not bottling it up, I'm telling you. And later on, he shows me he didn't miss it. Not one bit. Not one bit. He had everything under control. Don't bottle it up. Here's what this, watch. You hear me talk about it all the time. Emotions are there. See, watch this. You can be emotion-driven or you can be faith-driven. Here's the difference. If you're emotion-driven, then you're like this. You never know what's going on. You never know how you're going to be today, tomorrow. People at work, they don't know how to handle you. There's people at work. When I used to work at Fountain, I'd honestly would look around the hall and peep at them before I went to see them, to see if they had the horns growing, or the halo was there that day. If the horns were growing, I'd find a reason to go somewhere else that day. Especially if I'm going to try to tell them, I'm in charge of all of the ordinances. I'm going to come and tell them, you got to start over again. I went and told the vice president one day, I said, I need some help. I need you. I need this done because OSHA's coming in a couple of weeks and we need this fixed. He said, how are you going to fix it? I showed him the plans, already drawn them up. He said, that's awesome. He says, now you need to get all the machine shop, you need all the electricians, you need all of them to take care of that. I said, good. He said, but I got to do it on weekends. I said, go ahead, man, you got it. He said, no. You go tell him. I said, why me? He says, your plan. I said, but it's your plan. He said, go tell him. That Saturday, I went to Hardee's and I bought a great big bag of biscuits. And when I came in, some of them were so mad. Some of them were hungover. Some of them were mad. Some of them had canceled trips. They were so mad, and they were mad at me. And before they could open their mouth, I stuck a biscuit in it. And I said, the Lord has filled your mouth with good things. Sometimes it just does good to let your emotions out. But don't do it in a way that discredits God and discredits you and tears you down in front of people. Get by yourself or get in the altar and just between you and God. Either that way, wherever you get, just get somewhere and you and God work it out. If your emotions drive you, you will be a basket case. If faith drives you, watch this. Emotions are meant to enhance your life. Emotions are a gift of God. They're given to you to enhance your life. Emotions are never meant to drive your life, just to enhance your life. If emotions drive your life, you will never stay on a steady plane. If faith drives your life, you will stay on a steady plane. Instead of being led by emotions, you'll be led by the Word of God. When emotions are leading, the first thing that comes out of your mouth may be tearing somebody's head off. When God is and faith is leading, the Word of God comes out. Let faith lead you. And when faith leads you, it will challenge your emotions. I don't want to be led by my emotions. I want to have my emotions challenged by my faith. So I can be calm, under pressure, and cool. I believe with all my heart. Fonzie knew that principle. Get ready. Suffering drives some people from God. It drives other people to a deeper relationship. He becomes their strength. Times of difficulty and suffering can be spiritually rich. It's times when God can do something so great. When you're going through Psalm 63:1 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. God, you can take care of business. Watch this. This is a quote that just drives me every time I see it. Watch this quote. God whispers in our pleasures, but he shouts in our pains. Wow. He whispers to us in our pleasures, but he shouts when I'm hurting. Amen. I didn't want to tell this story today. I honestly was going to wait till another time, but it just feels like right now is one of the best times to tell it. I don't know why, but there was a store owner. I'll try to tell it without breaking up because every time I think about it, I cry. I mean, literally. Linda saw me today and said, are you okay? I said, yeah. She said, what's going on? I told her. But remember, as long as your head leaks, it won't swell, so it's okay if you cry. Just remember that. There was this man owned a store, and this little boy, his family was destitute. He noticed all the time this little boy come up and look at the vegetables. He didn't have any money to buy any vegetables. So one day he was up to buy some, he was looking at the vegetables, and the man said, what you looking at? He said, I'm looking at the peas. They sure would be nice to have some peas. He said, well, go ahead and get you some. I'll make you a good price for them. He said, mister, I ain't got any money. The man knew that. So the man said, I tell you what you got you trade me for? And he reaches in his pocket for his prized possession, 3 red marbles. He says, I got these marbles. He says, you can have them for some peas. He said, okay. So he took 3 marbles and he Got him a great big bag of peas so he could take them to his family. He says, you know what? I don't like red marbles. I like blue marbles. How about you just take them on back? Next time I see you, bring me some blue marbles. There's another businessman watching all of this. The next week, the boy comes back with blue marbles and same deal, get you whatever you want. And he says, I got the blue marbles, and he took them and said, you know what? I don't really like blue marbles. I thought I did, but I don't. I really like pink marbles. So can you just take these back and give me some pink? And this went on and on and on. And the man kept giving back the marbles and kept giving the boy vegetables for his family. Go up 20 years. The old man dies and owns the store. While he's up there in the coffin, three young men come up. One in the business, two in business suits, and one in a military uniform. Each one walked up one by one, reached in the coffin, and held his hand. As they walked away, that businessman that noticed what he had done those years before went to the man's wife and said, you know what? Says, I just got to tell you something your husband did. It's just an amazing story. And he started telling a story about the marbles. He said, but you know what? You never got any marbles. He said, well, hold on. She said, hold on. See those three boys that were just here? It's three men, two in the business suit and one in the military uniform. She said, yep. Said, he didn't just do it for him. He did it for all three of them and all three of those families. The same deal with the marbles. And he says, well, how about that? That's awesome. He said, we never got a marble, did he? And she reached in the coffin and she pulled up his hand. And there was three red marbles. She said it got red and he ain't got any choice this time. I told you, so it'll get you. Your head won't leak out today. God's watching. He sees. He knows. Don't run away from God in your problems, because that's what Satan wants you to do. Or he wants you to think that God's run away from you, and he hadn't. God sees. God's got his hand on the throttle. God's watching. He knows what you can take. So number one, he ran to God instead of running away. Number two, he kept an eternal perspective in a temporal world. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I'm going to go back. Amen? How many of us forget that? Have you ever forgot it? I've watched a bunch of young ones get born. I've seen them toothless. I've seen some with hair, some without hair. I've seen some of the most beautiful youngins, especially my grand youngins. They weren't the only one in the bunch of them. I have seen some, they'd say, he looks just like, not my grand youngins, but others say, sure, he looks like Uncle Fred. And I said, poor Uncle Fred. But I never noticed anyone unborn with clothes on. Amen? Never seen him born in a car, maybe in the car, but he didn't have a car. Drive off, okay? So watch this. Things come and go, but God is sovereign over all. Things come and go, but God is sovereign over all. Oh, y'all right there. Y'all just stop right there and shout a minute. I've got stuff that says it wouldn't tarnish, wouldn't break, wouldn't do it, and it's in the junkyard right now. I got stuff I thought I couldn't live without. It's over there in the junkyard too. Amen. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever bought anything on this earth that didn't tarnish, tear, or something. Everything I ever, every favorite suit I ever had, either tarnished, it tore, it ripped, it just got wore out, and I got on the cleaners about this. I told them, I said, now, every time I send my suits to y'all, y'all put something in it, make it shrink up. Please stop it. So I started washing my own. And I found out the mothballs in the closet do the same thing that they do at the cleaners. Okay. Things come and go, but God is sovereign over all. Watch this. Watch this. You're not going to make it in this world. None of us. You will not make it in this world. You will not make it as a child of God and be able to make it to those sides successfully. Or you'll go to heaven if you know Jesus Christ. But I'm talking about, I want to thrive. You'll never make it unless you get an eternal perspective of what's going on. You know that? So Job speaks here three realities that he knew. I want you to see these three realities. Number one, naked I came from my mother's womb. Material blessings are only temporary. Amen? They're all temporary. Naked I came from my mother's womb. Life is brief. I don't think I've seen anybody over 200 yet. I haven't seen very many over 100. About one of the most awesome women I saw in 97 was Sister Hollowell. Bless her heart. She said, I'm going to make it to 100. I believe if anybody can make it to 100, she'd make it to 100. But then she got pneumonia and it took her out of here. But that woman was awesome. We don't live forever here. Our souls are alive forever. And number three, I will depart. Every one of us are. There is a heaven. Because he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. In my flesh, I'm going to see God. So look, naked I came from mother's womb. Material blessings are temporary. My mother's womb, I came from a womb. Life is brief. I'm still human. Every last one of us are human. Amen? I've seen some guys thought they were tough. And when they got playing around and a bullet hit them, they weren't so tough anymore. I used to work with a guy. He was a hog. I mean, he was so big. I had the biggest guy I've ever seen in my life. His name, I won't tell you his name because y'all might know him. Great old big guy. And we're in Greenville. And for Halloween, this guy painted himself green. Messed up his hair, painted his face, his whole body green, and put on a pair of pants that went to here and was cut up in the knees. And he said, you didn't have to ask who he was. Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. And so he's walking around like the Hulk. And I'm telling you what, if anybody could be Lou Ferrigno, he'd be his brother. I'm telling you. He could be a stuntman for Lou Ferrigno. When Lou Ferrigno was scared, he could take his place. And he got in Greenville, and he come up against a guy named Roundtree. If I'm not mistaken, Roundtree was a national champion. Kickboxing. And the Hulk went there and went, roar! I went to visit him about a week later in the hospital. That leg never did work right after that. Matter of fact, he always walked with a limp after that. So it was kind of like, roar! I found out maybe the Hulk weren't so bad after all. He ran to God instead of running away. Number two, he kept an eternal perspective in a temporal world. And number three, and I'm closing, he knew God was for him, not against him. He kept on praising him. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord's going to take away. I'm not going to argue. Lord, it's yours. It's all yours anyway. That's what he's saying. It's all yours anyway, God. You gave it. It's yours. You can take it away. It's still yours. It's yours, God. See, Job recognized God is sovereign, that he's got a plan, and every good gift comes from God, and he recognized or refused to blame God. He didn't even charge him in wrongdoing. Instead, he said, may the name of the Lord be praised. Wow. Wow. That's some awesome stuff. See, we need to learn how to praise him in all things. It's God's will for your life. 1 Thessalonians tells us, it's God's will for you to praise him in the good times and the bad. You see, God is worthy. Above all, here's the final quote, and we're going to watch a video and go to the altar. But watch this. This is one of my mottos. One of my personal mottos. Bitterness comes to us all. It sours some, sweetens others. I shall use it to sweeten my spirit. Everybody's got bad times. God's watching. God sees it. Go ahead and start that video, dear. God sees it. God is watching. Here you are. You're in the dark. You don't know exactly what's going on. Are you going to run to him? Or run away from him. Remember, that's why we suffer. That's one of the biggest reasons why we suffer. In the Garden of Eden, he tempted Eve. The reason he tempted Eve was to sever that relationship with God. Amen? Y'all listening? Amen. He tempted Eve to sever that relationship with God. He let Job suffer to sever his relationship with God. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome all the time. I want everybody to stand. Everybody to stand. God is awesome. If you're here this morning and you got problems, if you find yourself in the dark, I invite you to come give it to God. If you feel like you're an emotional wreck, I invite you to come give it to God. Don't bottle it up. If you bottle it up, it's only going to get worse. Go ahead. Give it to God. Go ahead. Trust Him. God is awesome. God is awesome. The other night, I was teaching on the anatomy of afflictions, and I came to this spot. The fact that God delivers from trials implies design. Afflictions are never without a purpose. We may call our afflictions and trials accidents, but God never does. Afflictions are the path to choice blessings. Many blessings will never come without trial first. When we receive the blessing, acknowledge that the blessing received is far worth more than the burden that we held to get here. Worship Him, church. Psalm 119:67 says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word." Psalm 119:71 says, "It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." God's watching. God sees. God sees. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. God is watching. 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 Trust Him. Trust Him. Thank you, Father. Glory. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're awesome, God. You're awesome, God. You knew before we were ever born the trials that we'd find in this life. You knew the troubles that we would face. You knew the suffering. Satan would use it to sever our relationship with You. But God, we know that greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. Thank You, Father. Tell Him how you feel. It's okay. Tell Him how you feel. That's what Job was doing when he sat in that sackcloth and ashes. He was telling God how he felt. But then he ended it with, "I trust You anyway, God. I'm not going to be led by emotions. I will be led by faith." Thank You, Father. 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 Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. To them. Thank You, Father. Third day, the very first one that was up there. I can't even think of the name of the group there. That was the second one. Thank You, Father. Yeah. I didn't do that one. Yeah. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. God has a plan for your life. God has a destiny for your life. Satan seeks to sever the relationship. But Satan has come too late. We know his plan. We're not in his devices. God can take even your worst decisions and bring you around to his plan. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. He's already there. He's already worked it out. Trust him. Praise him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for these hands.
Okay. Well, come on. Come on.
My hands and my arm is hurting.
Okay. Father, right now, everybody wants you to pray. She needs a touch in her hands and her arms. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. We trust you totally. Lord, we trust you totally to touch my sister's hands, to touch her arms, to touch her shoulders. Let her feel your power. Let her feel your anointing rush through her right now, Father. We know, God, that you're more than able. You're more than capable. And Father, we don't come to you begging, Lord. We just come to you asking. Lord, because you said all we have to do is ask. But Father, we're asking right now for you to touch. Let my sister feel your warmth and your anointing rush to her body right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we know that you can do it. And we thank you for it, Lord. Nothing is going to keep her from your plan in her life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. God's awesome.
All the time.
Come on up and say my beautiful wife. Come up here since I robbed the cradle. And we're only, I don't know, we had to tell Lady we're only 2 years apart. She said, now you've done gone from robbing the cradle, now you started lying. I said, no. Come on tonight expecting something great from God. Amen. Brother Wayne, would you just spend some prayer, please?